Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. It begins, "When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, 'Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up with a colt, and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks anything to you, say that their master needs them.' He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, 'Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring.' The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. 'Who is this?' they asked. The crowds answered, 'It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, allow these words on this Palm Sunday to give us a sense of humbleness and understanding of where we're going and where we've been over these past few weeks in Lent. May our hearts be humbled to hear your word and to go forth today proclaiming that word. We are here as your people and as your humble servants, and allow us to love fully and deeply in your name. Amen. I do hope that there's one thing that you all took in over the past few weeks when I spoke about our wilderness, and that is the ability to recognize the importance of something. And that something is called humility. Humility can make or break a person. It can change the whole world. It can change influence. It can change influence and culture. And it can change the way people live, think, and even love. It is an important piece of the whole discipleship process, knowing that we can humble ourselves and knowing that Jesus can do it too. Today, you heard me read from Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter. This story has Jesus entering Jerusalem. Yes, there are large crowds and there are shouts of Hosanna, but there is something else that is taking place here, a certain level of humility, but one that is different. This humility is not the soft type, that sentimental humility we often imagine. Rather, this humility is fierce, one that is intentional, a humility that chooses vulnerability over spectacle, a humility that chooses service over status, a humility that chooses love over fear, a humility that some would say isn't even humility. So what happens? Jesus sends a couple of his disciples to find a donkey. He tells them that beside it there will be a colt tied up. And if anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs it. And we know which one of these Jesus chooses to ride, the colt, the least impressive animal available. Let's think about this scenario. Here's a grown man trying to ride this young donkey. Maybe for some it was comical. It was never meant to be majestic. The process is awkward, it is slow, and honestly, it's just a bit ridiculous. But here's the thing, Jesus chose it on purpose. During Jesus' time, when a king entered the city on a horse, he was making a statement. It would show power, it would scream force, it would proclaim that I am here for a purpose, to conquer it all. But a king who enters the city on a donkey, that makes a totally different statement. It is saying, I come in peace. I come with humility. I come to serve. In this moment, it's not about filling prophecy. Rather, what he is doing is redefining what power looks like. With his actions, he is telling us, I'm not going to play by the emperor's rules. I'm not here to promote violence, and I'm not here doing this to become what I came to heal. Friends, if you haven't figured it out yet, what Jesus is doing here, it is humility. Not a humility based on weakness, but a humility that chooses to use a different way. There are many stories like the one I'm about to tell. Something like this might have even happened to you. But there was this well-known surgeon. He was invited to speak at a medical conference. He arrived early wearing jeans and a sweatshirt. When he entered the building, the staff assumed that he was part of the custodial crew. So one of the coordinators handed him a broom and told him to sweep the hallway before the attendees arrived. He, without hesitation, took the broom and started sweeping. In that moment, the doctor could have said something like this, "Do you know who I am?" But he didn't. He didn't correct them. He didn't announce who he was. He didn't wait for recognition. He simply took the broom and swept the floor and served. Later on, when the organizers finally realized who he was, they got embarrassed and apologized profusely. And with a simple laugh and smile, he said this, "If I ever get too important to pick up a broom, I'm too important for my own soul." Today, when Jesus enters Jerusalem, he does it with solidarity with those who know exactly what it feels like to be small. It isn't about him being above the people. Rather, it is about him being among the people. There is no armor. He rides in exposed, not demanding honor, but offering himself. And for the crowd, it was confusing. They couldn't fully grasp what they were seeing. They shout, "Hosanna, save us." They want a savior who will overthrow Rome. They want a savior who will restore national pride. They want a savior who will make everything easier. They want a warrior. And what does Jesus give them? A simple servant. They want a king who will crush their enemies. And what does Jesus give them? A king who will wash their feet. They want a leader who will take power. And what does Jesus give them? A leader who will give power away. Friends, we are still the same way. Because when it comes to the humility that Jesus brings, that type is the hardest for us to swallow. For me, when it comes to humility, it never looks like what we expect. It rarely gives us what we want. What humility does do is this. It gives us what we need. In verse 10 of Matthew today, it tells us that the whole city was stirred. It was shaken. Isn't it amazing what humility can do? In this moment, it's Jesus' humility that shakes the city. And why is that? Because humility always shakes something. It shakes our assumption about what strength looks like. It shakes our desire to be in control. It shakes our belief that the loudest voice is the most powerful. It shakes our instinct to protect ourselves at all cost. Humility is disruptive. Humility unsettles us because it exposes the parts of us that still cling on to the war horse, The parts of us that want to win, the parts of us that want to dominate, the parts that of us that want to be right, the parts that want to be admired. It is like this. There are two co-workers sitting in an office, and they begin disagreeing at a meeting. One of them is a normally sharp person, confident, articulate. They pause. They take a breath, and they say this. You want to know something? I think I might be wrong about this. And because of that, the whole room goes silent. Not because it was dramatic, because for them it was a rare moment. With a simple sentence, the entire tone of the conversation shifted. The people relaxed. They started listening. They began working together. It is a perfect example of how powerful humility is when someone chooses it over ego. And in that moment, it wasn't flashy, it wasn't loud, but it did change the attitude in the room. Humility has a way of doing just that. And Jesus' humility today does the same thing. It reveals the truth about the world that we are drawn to spectacle, but transformed by gentleness. That it is okay to admire strength, but we are healed by compassion. And that we all crave a bit of control, but in the end, we are saved by surrender. You know, I was going to skip this next part, but, you know, what's Palm Sunday without talking about the little donkey? You know what I'm saying? We got to have a little conversation about the little donkey because it's an important piece. And every year I sort of bring this up on Palm Sunday because I always go, I wonder what that donkey was thinking in this moment. Maybe it was saying to itself, oh, look at this crowd, right? They are cheering for me. But we know they are not cheering for the donkey. They are cheering for the one that is on their back. Friends, that is also humility. Knowing the difference between being the center of attention and carrying something sacred. And it is also an important part of this whole story, remembering that Palm Sunday is here to let us know that we are not the Savior, but we are the people called to carry that Savior's love into the world. We are the people called to bring grace into places that feel like grace doesn't exist. We are the people called to bring hope into places where others feel hopeless. We are the people called to bring peace into places where chaos exists. And we do it by not being impressive. We do it by being available. The humility that Jesus brings today is not passive. It is not timid. It is not self-deprecating. Rather, it is costly. It is courageous. It is a deliberate choice, one that chooses to love in a world that rewards domination, one that refuses to become what the world expects. The humility today is a commitment, one to a different kind of kingdom, one where the first is the last and the last is the first. And those who are greatest are the ones who serve. And this kind of humility that Jesus shows us today, it is not just a display, it is an invitation. There was an engineer who built his whole life around competence. His job was to solve problems, working with complex systems, high-stakes decisions, projects with no margin for error. People relied on him because he always had an answer, but something happened. Along his journey, he started believing that needing help was a type of failure. His whole career, he used data, logic, his own ability to push through to find the correct answer. But faith, for him, was a different story. He respected the people who believed, but he also kept them just far enough away to be safe in his mind. Then something happened. Problems began occurring. Not the type of problems that could be solved with equations or even spreadsheets. What happened was this. His father got sick, his marriage was falling apart, and work became overwhelming. Every time he tried to fix one of the problems, three more popped up. But he kept at it, powering through, trying to outthink it, trying to outwork it, but nothing changed. For the first time in his life, he ran into a problem that he couldn't engineer his way out of. One night he was sitting in his office alone. Everybody else went home. And he got the courage to whisper a prayer, one that he never expected to pray. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't theological. All it was quiet. One from exhaustion. Jesus, I don't know what to do. If you want to come in, I won't fight anymore. In that moment, it was like opening a door that had been locked for years, not because he didn't believe, but because he didn't want to surrender control. Think about this story for a second. Jesus didn't enter with force. There were no fireworks. The answers to all his problems weren't instant. There was no five-step plan. All there was this. Humility. Jesus came to him with humility. The man described it like this, a shift in the atmosphere, one that was gentle, steady, one that was almost imperceptible at first. Because of this, he became more patient with his family. He became more honest with his co-workers, and he began admitting when he became overwhelmed. He started asking for help, something he had never done before, and he began to pray. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. You see, Jesus didn't fix his problems overnight. Jesus changed him, and because of that, everything changed. The truth of the story that we might miss is this, that his father's illness didn't go away. His workload didn't magically shrink. But what changed is this, that he wasn't carrying the burden alone. He became more grounded. He became more compassionate. He became more human by letting Jesus in. And it didn't make him weaker. It made him real. It made him whole. And it was all because he learned from what Jesus's humility is. And he allowed it to shape the way he led his life. He began to listen. He delegated, and he apologized when he was wrong. The team trusted him more, not because he had all the answers, but because he no longer pretended to. What a story to end with this Palm Sunday. One where we're reminded that when Jesus enters a life with humility, he doesn't bulldoze his way in. He doesn't command control or demand control. He doesn't overwhelm. Rather, he comes to each one of us in the same way he came into Jerusalem, gentle, patient, and riding a donkey. And when we let him in that way, he doesn't just change our circumstance. He changes us. So as we come out of our wilderness journey, let me ask you this. Where is Jesus inviting you to practice humility? Where is Jesus calling you to choose gentleness over defensiveness, listening over arguing, presence over performance, compassion over being right? Because that is where a life can be changing, or can begin changing. That is where the kingdom begins. That is where Holy Week begins. At the gates of Jerusalem, with Jesus on a donkey, showing humility. Maybe we should just let him in.
Amen.